welcome to the show. It might be in bad taste. It starts off with the name. It's called Fix Your Fucking Face. Like it or not, it really doesn't matter. It's just Mark and Sean talking about shit like who'd you rather. So sit back, relax, enjoy the listen. Hopefully we'll make you laugh till you start pissing. And here we go.
Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite podcast. Yes, I know that I say this every time. Sean probably hates me, but Fix Your Fucking Face. Hi, Sean.
That's why you're the host. You got the intro down.
Host with the most.
I was going to say something very inappropriate.
Well, you can. I can cut it. It's fine, but I doubt I will.
No, I'm trying to. We have a lot of children that are listening these days. So,
host with the littlest dick? Was that what you're going to say?
Nope. It was going to be worse. Keep guessing.
Host with man boobs?
Nope, but that's a good one.
I don't know any other ones. Host that wears his jeans every day for like a month and a half before he washes them.
Host with the smelliest jeans that he can't fold because they're so stiff from being dirty and sweaty and gross.
Listen, we can get into this all day. It's the opposite. Because I wear them so much, they like pretty much conform to me now. It's perfect. That's why I wear them like that.
Ew. It's probably all kinds of bacteria. That's how coronavirus started, from your fucking jeans.
It could be. I mean, they said it was lab made, so who knows?
In your pants.
It might have been lab made from my pants. New bacteria every day. I don't care. Well, what's up, Sean? How's life?
Good. I'm getting ready to go on vacation.
Where are you going?
Going to Cali. Hey-o.
I'm going back to Cali.
Cali.
Nice. I like it. We do this all day too. California knows how to party.
Knows how to party.
We'll
I always
fun.
Just
We're
make up my own lyrics.
You should. You're going to San Diego, right?
Yeah, and up the Pacific Coast Highway.
Nice. That's going to be a blast.
Going to be great.
It's one of Melissa's favorite places. And what's funny is, you know, we're going to be doing a beer fest there in October without Melissa. So she's already
Hell
mad.
Yeah.
It's fine. She's like, yeah, have fun at one of my favorite cities in the world. It's cool. Good luck.
Bye. Cool, love ya.
Yeah. Well, I get to go see her family in Wisconsin. So that's great. Next week for 2 weeks.
Excited?
I mean, I am. I like to go to the lake. It's pretty fun. The kids have a blast. I can sit in that lake and drink beer all day. It's amazing.
Excited for the skeeter bites?
Yeah, that's the one part that really sucks. I mean,
Would love to come check it out, but that kind of terrifies me because the skeeters would just. I wouldn't make it out alive.
You get used to it because you just kind of whatever brush them off. But like sometimes it's real bad and sometimes it's not. It just depends on how much rain they get. But so it's fun. I'm excited, and I know you're excited, so I can't wait to see the beers you check in, because I'm gonna check in a lot of new beers too while I'm there.
Hell yeah,
let's do it. Well, what are we talking about today? Why are we doing this episode today?
Well, it seems people've given us some feedback that they like it when we do lists and some of the top fives and some of those things we did earlier in the podcast, which were pretty fun episodes, like our top five female singers and some of our summer songs and those different things that we were doing. So we figured let's bring some lists back.
Bringing the lists back. You know, I think about the female singers one all the time, and I'm always like, you know, I could probably add her to the list. All this, like, I just keep pushing people in and out. Now
we
have to
bump
revisit
out?
That. Yeah. It's hard, right? Like, who's getting bumped and who's going in? It's kind of fun. That was the feedback we got, which it's funny because we love doing those, and I think we got away from it a little bit. So I was like, you know what? Let's do, before we both go on vacation, right? Like, let's do another one. And one of the things that we're just such idiots. We're just so dumb. And Melissa, you know, and I don't know if Jamie does the same thing to you, but Melissa will be like, I always go, name the movie. Like, I'll say a quote and name the movie, you know, she'll be like, oh, I fucking hate you right now. Like, you're such an idiot. Well, when we were in college, like Sean and I and Ryan Wagner, what's up, brother? We would always watch like certain movies, and then Sean and I would watch certain movies, and like just the same shit. Like, we could watch these movies, and you guys know what it is out there because you do the same thing. So you probably hear this episode and be like, I know exactly what movie I would quote or what movie I could watch like on repeat, but you know, they're stupid. Like, you know, they're not great. And it is what it is, but you know, they're like one of those movies that you're like, I love this movie, but there's people that are just like, this is the dumbest fucking movie ever, right? So like, you know, that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to have a little fun with it. We're going to pick a few movies that we know together, we always quote, And we're also going to pick ones that we maybe neither one of us know which one we're picking kind of. And we're going to kind of talk about those two that we think that people might be like, yeah, you know, it's all right. But why we think it's funny and why it's stupid, but we love it. So.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting mix probably with everyone where you probably quote a bunch of movies that are classics that everyone loves. But then there are the random ones where people be like, what the fuck movie is that? And you name it and they're like, that movie is terrible. It's like, no, I love it. But you know what's funny? I'm horrible with quoting movies. I mean, Jamie and her family, they're actually like naming movies and I'm sitting there like an idiot, like, oh shit, which one is that? And even though it's like an obvious one, it's an obvious movie. And I'm like, oh wait, yeah, that's Caddyshack.
Well, I mean,
but I'm just so bad with it. I mean, I have to literally watch a movie like 50 times before I start quoting it. Like I can't watch. Some people watch a movie like 4 or 5 times and then they're starting to like nail all the lines. I'm just not that person.
What are you fucking idiot? You know, like for me, you know, my stupid brain, like I pinpoint things left and right, but I always pick the same fucking movies all the time. Like that's what I do. Most of the time, I was like Tommy Boy, which is not one I'll talk about today, even though it's my favorite movie of all time. But
yeah,
like it's Tommy Boy, and I'm like, yeah, it's Tommy Boy, all right, you know. But some of the movies that we're gonna talk about today are definitely ones that I quote all the time to her, and she knows them by heart now. So
yeah, and see, Tommy Boy wouldn't work for this list because that's a classic that everyone loves.
Yeah,
for what we're doing today, like it has to be something that it would be questionable. Like it could toe the line. 50% of the people you would ask would maybe be like, oh yeah, that movie's great. And 50% would be like, you like that movie? It's fucking stupid.
Or way worse than 50% for some of these movies. So,
which we'll find out by how we're doing this. You should give a little more context there.
Oh yeah. So, you know, we decided that when we're going to do this, right, we wanted to see like like reviews, right? Things like that. So, we both decided we're going to go to Rotten Tomatoes and see what the Rotten Tomato percentage score is and the audience score. So kind of put them together a little bit and talk about that. And then we found some reviews of it and just like the bad ones, not even talk about the good ones. Cause I could talk about good stuff about all these movies and so could Sean, but we're going to talk about some bad reviews. Some of them are hurtful and some make me really sad. And I put a couple like, how could you say this about this? But you know, cause we're such dumbasses that we're like, again, when we're like 90 years old, I mean, I probably won't make it that far, but when we're 90 years old and we're still hosting this podcast looking like assholes when we fix the cover of our podcast with our old ass faces, we're going to be talking about these things. Like I said, in college, we used to watch, like, we'd wake up hungover as shit, or we'd go to bed hammered and we'd still be watching movies and quoting them and making fun of them and just laughing. You know, we're one of those things, like, we'd pause because we would be pissing ourselves laughing so hard about the dumbest shit. So I'm going to let Sean start first, and we're going to do 4 movies together. So 4 that we know that we've always loved. And we didn't even have to talk about this part. We knew exactly what 4 movies we were going to pick. I took 2, he took 2. So Sean, take it away.
So I'm coming out of the gates hot with, I think, probably one of our favorite movies that we, you know, would watch constantly. Like this is one where I probably have watched it 50 times
for sure.
And so it'll be an interesting mix to see what, you know, what some of our friends and the people listening think. But Along Came Polly.
Oh my God. With
Ben Stiller, Jennifer Aniston, just in my eyes.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think probably, I mean, he's won Oscars, right? He's been nominated. He's an acclaimed actor. I think this is his best performance.
It's by far his best like, performance.
Just unbelievable. I
mean, the Alec Baldwin cameos in it too.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
So many good things.
I didn't look these up on purpose because I knew you were doing them. So I'm curious to see what the reviews and the percentages were for this movie.
Yeah. But with that movie, there's just so many classic scenes and lines, at least in our mind. And
oh my God.
The best is the Philip Seymour Hoffman meeting in at the end when he's given the pitch and just randomly saying shit out of his mouth, like in Derby and Friends when the firm is Sandusky and Sons and shit. And Alec Baldwin just looking at him like, what are you fucking doing?
Oh my God. All of us here in Derby and Friends. He's like,
yeah. Volcano lugeing, alligator wrestling.
Oh my God.
That whole shut delivery is off. Just
it is amazing. I mean, I knew I would start laughing immediately no matter what movie we talked about, But oh my god, the quotes and like everything when they play basketball against the two dudes with no shirts. I mean, like the whole movie, the premise of it is funny as shit. So I can't imagine, you know, in my head, it's 100%. Like I'd give it 100%. It's 100%. 5 stars out of 5 stars.
See, so it makes me review. It does make me think that a lot of people do like this movie, because I don't know about you, but there's been dozens, if not, you know, hundreds of times when I've played basketball where at least once I go, make it rain, and make just it toss rain. It above the fucking, like, doesn't even hit the backboard.
Yep. Oh, and then miss the layup.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen so many people do that to the point where it's like, all right, definitely, like, a lot of people love this movie. But apparently the critics don't really like it too much.
How would they know?
Yeah, so they gave it a 20
pieces of shit. Oh, what? Like,
I need to actually just make sure I look this up correctly. For the actual critic score.
What's what?
The tomato meter, 27%.
No. What's the audience?
47.
That's still terrible.
I know. Holy shit. Okay,
first and
shocked.
Foremost, everybody, I'm already upset with Rotten Tomatoes, and it's already not a reliable source. If you tell me, as a movie critic, that you gave Along Came Polly a 27%, that has a different laugh every, like, 3 minutes. Like, it's not a movie where there's, like, three good laughs, because some of the movies that I'm picking are not, like, you know, forever funny. That's, like, a top three movie of my all-time movie. Like, I could watch it right now and start laughing through the whole thing.
Well, and this is so one of the critic reviews, and this isn't even like a funny one, but it just, I would love to meet this person and just slap them in the face, because it says the script doesn't have enough comic moments to fill 90 minute runtime.
What?
Are you kidding me? Like, probably
what's this asshole's name? We're looking him
70
up.
Minutes of the 90 minutes is just nonstop fucking
at least
hilarity.
I mean, at least there's never, I'm thinking of the movie right now, and there's never a moment where it's like not funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everything.
I can't even tell you how many times I go, Ruben, I'm gay. I mean, I just, look, and Hank Azaria, go for scuba.
Azaria. He's also classic.
I'm going to start just saying that to random people, random girls while I'm on vacation this week, while I'm on the beach. Hello, you go for scuba? See if I get punched in the face by their boyfriend. Meanwhile, Jamie will be like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's like the story of the hippo.
The hippo, yes. That's a, I need to, see, that's one where I don't have the whole quote down, but I need to memorize the hippo story and just start telling that to people.
Lubin, I saw it. Did she make fire in my trousers?
But no, apparently there's not enough comic moments to fill its 90-minute runtime.
That asshole or her ass, I don't know who it is, but whoever they
are. Yeah, it's Jamie Russell, so I don't know if it's him or her, but they're an asshole.
I hope Jamie Russell's listening to our podcast, because he or she is a fucking imbecile.
Yeah.
Not giving it good reviews. I'm curious what's some other bad reviews.
Another person apparently didn't like what we like the most. So it says, talented actors in a dumb film with gross sex humor. The gross sex humor is the best part.
Like, how do people rate that movie?
I don't know.
Terrible.
It's so it boggles my mind. So hopefully, I'd love to hear if anyone listening hates that movie, because then might have to disown them as friends.
Yeah, no, that's an all. I mean, I'm glad you started with that, because that's the best one in my opinion. Yeah, the four movies we chose, the best one. It's all downhill from here, people. So.
In terms of the reviews, there wasn't really anything else that was like funny.
No. See, that's
one. One person was saying that Ben Stiller is either a member of Dysfunctions R Us, or he's making a plea to be the next Woody Allen. But even Woody Allen himself couldn't save Along Came Polly. It's like, come on!
How terrible! Fuck these people! That's how dare
fuck
they
them.
With their reviews.
Wouldn't know a good movie if it came up and bit him in the ass.
Yeah. If they went down a volcano losing, they wouldn't have any fucking ideas. So,
so yeah, that is a classic. Good. And I would say, I think that may be the movie that I can quote the most out of any movie that, you know, that I have ever seen.
Without question, that's definitely the one that I could quote. Besides Tommy Boy, the two that I could quote the most.
Yes.
No
doubt. Actually, Tommy Boy is not far behind it for me.
No, I can dominate that. Well, all downhill from here, but I'm going to start with one that I think just Sean and I, you know, wasn't in college, but just Sean and I watched this movie. And It was just so stupid, but we thought it was so funny. We think it's so funny. So it's called Sex Drive. And I hope someone out there, multiple people have seen it. Cause I'm not 100% sure they have. Cause the characters, I'm pretty sure like James Marsden is like the only one in there. He's really funny. The only one,
which I don't even know. Like I would need to see his face to know who that is.
He's the brother.
No, I know, but I'm just saying like even his name doesn't stick out to me to be like, oh yeah, that guy. Like he's still, it's not recognizable still.
Fair. Okay. Fair. But you know, this is what's funny because first off, Sex Drive is all about a kid that meets like an online girl. This is, I mean, 2000 something, but like before, right when things like this were popular. So of course they're going to milk the market for sex movies, but it's just so dumb, but so funny. Like we were laughing at it. The guy's like in a donut suit. So like one of the titles for our podcast was almost a quote from this movie. It was close. We came close to picking it. It's called Fuck Off Donut. And I was real close to picking it because the dude wears like a donut suit for this like donut place. And he gets like punched. His brother beats him up. It's just really funny. And they go on. I forgot. Seth Green is in it.
Oh, Seth Green.
The Amish,
yeah.
They go to like Amish like country. The one, so it's like,
he's just got like a cameo part. It's like not even.
It's so dumb. But here's why I'm going to tell you why I can tell you Rotten Tomatoes is dumb. Because Rotten Tomatoes gave Sex Drive 46%. Over a 20 whatever for Along Came Polly.
Yeah.
And the audience gave it a 58%. So of course,
oh, wow. I mean, people okay. So think yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
But I got to read these reviews. So people, if you've never seen Sex Drive, these reviews should help you watch it. Are you ready? Sean's going to like it. Penis gags, poo and bum driven gags, masturbation embarrassments, and the consistent use of crude expletives are not nearly as hilarious when overused as the filmmakers seem to think.
Oh, that person's a loser.
Oh, hold on. These two are the best. Sex Drive feels like a date with a prostitute. If you pay your money, you get what you expect, but there's nothing fun or new about the experience. And ultimately, you feel a lot more sleazy than satisfied.
Oh, wow. They put some good thought in there into that one.
I picked three for this one. It's the latest in a long string of teen sex comedies where the audience just might find themselves rooting for the STDs.
Oh, that one's harsh.
I was laughing hysterically because I can't disagree. You know, I get it. But when I hear the reviews are that much better than Long Game Polly, I'm like, come on, man. Like, that can't be, be real.
How did we stumble upon that movie? I know you were visiting me in Boston. We were hungover, and it was raining out, and we were just sitting on the couch.
We saw sex, and we thought it was porn, and it wasn't. We were upset, but we watched it for the next
time. Yeah, I think that's exactly how we stumbled upon it. Like, Sex Drive, should be good.
For sure it was.
And then, like, immediately, within, like, the first 10 minutes, that fuck off donut quote comes out, and we're just both pissing our pants.
Oh, my God. We had to pause it and replay it over and over again. Then, like I said, James Marsden's the brother, and he's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he like tries to judo kick the fucking garage door and like misses and falls down.
Rob Springer.
You get, all right, listen,
this is a good one because I think there's a good chance that not a lot of people have seen it. So now they can go and watch it and form their own opinion and hopefully.
Please watch Sex Drive. Please. I think the cover of the movie is literally him in the donut costume. I'm almost certain that's what it is, which is the best part. It's so funny. But again, there's like five quotes, but the movie's, of course, like a teen sex comedy, is really funny, whatever. It's stupid as shit. But we could watch it right now and laugh for 2 hours straight.
Oh, for sure.
Easy money. But again, I'm not going to believe in Rotten Tomatoes anymore after I've heard this is 20 percentage points higher than Along Came Polly. So, okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, Along Came Polly is like Oscar worthy.
Absolutely.
100%. Out of all of these movies.
100%. I agree. I agree with you.
Okay. So the next one that we're throwing out there, and the reason we're throwing this one out here is, again, going back to kind of our connection with Mark and I and college, and it was actually a Halloween costume that we did.
So good.
If it wasn't for that, I don't know if I would actually throw this movie in the mix. But I think obviously since you and I, like, it was just one of those movies where we would be sitting on the couch in college, hungover, similar to what we did with Sex Drive. And just
for sure,
there was enough funny scenes to where we just kept watching it over and over and over again and loved it. And it's Starsky and Hutch. With Owen Wilson, Ben Stiller.
Another Ben Stiller, baby. Keep him coming.
Yep.
When he was at his prime time right there. Yeah, we decided one. I mean, we, you know, Halloween was like, obviously in college is the most fun because you just get to be a complete asshole. And one year we were Smurfs and we like painted our bodies blue and wore stupid pants and whatever and looked like idiots. This year we were like, let's do it. You know, Sean got like the bomber jacket of Hutch. I was David Starsky with it. One of the best pictures of all time is us.
Actually, in those stupid ass costumes. I would say for us, it's one of my favorite pictures.
It's so good. It's
probably
so funny.
Because I was super thin back then. And well, still maybe, wondering what happened, but yeah. And then I have the beard in front of us. Stupid ass wig, like the blonde wig I bought. Oh man,
it was. I mean, we went to a Halloween party and dominated. It was so much fun.
Yeah,
freaking.
I don't know if everyone got it really, because obviously it's an older, based on an older TV show, and like the movie had just come out and it wasn't super popular.
The point was, we were quoting him all night. Like everywhere I went, I would just keep saying Bacardi and Cola, do it, do it, and people were like, "What the fuck?
Yeah, what are you talking about?" Like,
Sean and I are laughing.
And be like, I haven't seen that movie.
They're like the TV show from back in the day. I'm like, no, there's a movie about it. So
they turn around and they're like, "These fucking weirdos behind here."
This guy keeps asking for Bacardi and Coke, and I don't think we have Bacardi because it's a little pricier than normal.
So the Rotten Tomatoes is gonna really piss you off. It got a 62% tomato meter. I know. That's actually like higher than some decent thrillers and other movies that are out there. I'm showing Mission Impossible 3, which is probably a decent movie, and that's 71%. Like, this is almost that high. It's kind of crazy.
I don't know if I can ever believe this again.
And the audience score was 49%.
Well, all right, it's way less. Okay, fair enough. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's pretty good. Snoop Dogg makes a cameo in there. It's pretty worth it.
So one of the reviews that I'm going to mention is from a cameo, which is hilarious. The first one, though, this person obviously was a fan of the old school show because it said this movie doesn't even deserve to stand next to the crummiest of Starsky and Hutch TV episodes. Oh, so Jesus. Obviously they like the show much better.
That's an 80-year-old white guy that just made that review for sure.
But then this next one, and it was the critic. I don't know how they classify these people as critics or not, but it was under the critics review, and it pretty much has nothing to do with the movie other than the person who's the cameo. So Carmen Electra.
Oh yes.
Has a cameo in it. So this person said, "Hey, Carmen Electra looks worried. At least she would look worried if her forehead didn't contain enough Botox to put down Ryan Seacrest." Like, what?
How does it have anything?
It has nothing to do with
can
the
you
movie.
Just, I have a question. Can I just go on there and say I'm a critic?
Apparently, because, I don't that's know.
They're not critiquing the movie in any way, shape, or form.
This person just wanted to throw a jab at Carmen Electra.
I don't know. That movie is, I think it's hysterical. I mean, Owen Wilson's like, you know, obviously like the laid back, like who gives a fuck, like whatever. Yeah. And then like Ben Stiller's like the uptight dude, as he is in like pretty much every movie that he's in. I feel like that's just what he is. But I don't know. Hopefully you've seen that one. I mean, I imagine people have seen that one. Yeah. But that, so funny. Bacardi Cole, like just like the costumes and all that other shit. God
when
damn it, Starsky.
High, playing the guitar.
Oh, Vince Vaughn is like the bad guy in it. Oh, I forgot about him. So funny. Just gets yelled at all the time. So good. I love it. I love it.
All right, next. What right, you got for me?
Our last of the four that we always quote, and it's really funny because, you know, obviously, like, sequels to movies are usually shitty. I mean, just shitty. And again, going back to like the teen sex craze comedy, whatever, we watched one time American Wedding. Now, American Pie, the original, pretty good. That's a pretty big time. That started, I think, it started like most of those, like, you know, sex comedy, whatevers. And American Wedding is like the summary of all that shit where like most of the characters are back. And you think like, well, we're going to watch it, right? Can't be that great. It is, to me, I crack up all the time. Like whenever we watch that movie, of course, there's like heartfelt moments and this and that.
Yeah.
But of course, they have to do like the gags and things like that. But so review wise, 54% Rotten Tomatoes and 63% for audience, which is probably right where I'd say it would be for most.
I was looking up the original, which was 61 and 61.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Line, yeah.
Fair enough. So
which
I don't
actually
know.
Surprisingly, because the original was the classic, right?
I think it should be higher for sure. Yeah. I mean, it should be. But American Wedding is one that people don't always think about. But there are so many one-liners in that movie. Like so many. Like I still do all the time. Either we're going to need a mop or food smells great, or don't do that when she like tries to rub his cheeks when he's eating the dog shit. Like, every time I can't, do food smells great everywhere I go. Like literally everywhere I go, I'm like, ooh, food smells great.
Majority of people probably don't even know you're quoting a movie.
No, they don't. They have no idea. Like whenever there's like something on the floor, I'll be like, we're going to need a mop. And Melissa goes like, shut the fuck up. Like,
I'm pretty sure I've done that like around other people, like maybe even Jamie's family, be like, we're going to need a mop. And they're like, it's in the closet. And I'll be like, oh, no, I was just kidding.
No, never mind. I'm not really getting a mop. Yeah. Okay. Shut the fuck up. I've got to read you some of these quotes. So again, the quotes are my favorite part because it's so funny. So American Wedding, the hardly awaited sequel to American Pie 1 and 2, picks up right where the others left off, which is to say it starts at the bottom and works its way down from there. Okay, got a couple more. An aimless charade of doggy poo. This is really what someone wrote. Doggy poo, latex breasts, and really, really bad language. I think that fits the whole movie.
Exactly. I love it.
When they do the strippers at the house is one of my favorite parts. When maids, oh my God, it cracks me up. And as with the first, this one made me sad. As with the first two American Pie flicks, this is the kind of movie you see again 10 years later and wonder why you liked it back when you were young and dumb. How dare you? Whoever that was, how dare you? Because
that's a direct insult to us.
It was like a direct hit, like Battleship Sunk, because I felt real bad immediately. I was like, what? I don't look back at movies and ever say I was young and dumb. I say I wish I was still there. Like, that's the funniest shit ever. I was cracking up when I saw that, when I was like, how dare you, you piece of shit.
Pieces of shit.
So funny, dude. That movie, again, people, I'd imagine most people saw, but maybe not, because once you got through the first one or two, you're like, all right, forget it. But American Wedding it's good. It's classic. There's so many Stifler and freaking Finch go at it. It's Stifler's like a pretty big focal point of that movie, I think. And obviously that was the point, but so funny. That movie's got so many classics in it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I would say probably a lot of people have seen that one, but probably don't hold it in such high regard as we do.
Well, I don't think anybody holds any of these in high regard except for us. So,
all right. So now we're going to go to the movies that we picked individually. And I'm kicking it off with a movie that has my favorite actor of the 90s. I already kind of spoiled this for you, but The Cable Guy.
Oh, my God.
And I've just heard so like, just individually, I've told a lot of people that I like that movie, and I've gotten reactions from people to be like, that movie's fucking terrible.
I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
I think it's awful, by the way.
Oh my God.
I hate that movie. And I know Sean loves it. And I knew he was going to pick that movie. I hate it. I have no interest in Jim Carrey in pretty much anything, by the way.
Do me a favor and just go back and watch it again, because there's so many subtle things that you'll pick up on that you love.
That's like the point.
One of my favorite parts is when he goes and he's listening to all the messages from the guy. Obviously it's the cable guy. He's obsessed with him. It's like a dark comedy, which I actually kind of like, but in the answering machine, he's just constant messages of him. And then he's finally like, hey, I was in the shower. Thought I heard the phone ring.
Right.
Okay. That ever happened to you? Call me. Yeah. Let's talk about it. I mean, it's just this. And then the final one, you just hear him go, shit. Hanging up. I mean,
It's weird though, right? Like, just
it's
real
kind, no,
weird.
It is kind of weird, because there's scenes like when they're doing karaoke that gets a little odd, and there's a weird part when they're at the medieval restaurant.
Medieval times.
Welcome to medieval times. But Andy Dick in that scene is hilarious. Like, get back on the horse, man. I don't think he's fucking kidding.
I forgot about that part. Okay, I don't hate it. I think I'm not a huge fan.
And actually, one of the other scenes I forgot about, which is pretty amazing, I hope it's what I'm gonna say, back and watch it, is the porno password scene.
Oh, that one's good. That was what I was gonna say.
Penis.
And that's exactly how it's
going.
No, so there's a lot of good scenes. And then he pretends to hike down the steps. So
that is
my favorite.
That is one of the things that I quote a ton, where people are like, what are you
I know, I've been there.
Like, see ya. Bye. Just don't, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So I wasn't expecting much out of the Rotten Tomatoes, but it was actually a little better than I thought. It was 53% tomato meter, 51% audience score. So in the same line as the other stuff we've been looking at. And then the reviews, I tried to dive into as many as I could. They weren't as funny as I was hoping, but One said, the cable guy is so repellent as to be almost literally unwatchable. This comedy isn't dark. It's extinguished. It isn't entertaining. It's pathology. I mean, this person just went off the rails here.
I love it.
And then the other one said, this insipid comedy has all the zip of a trip down a playground slide lined with tar and broken glass.
Oh my God. Is this a critic? Like, they can't write something. Yeah,
no,
like that,
it was a critic. It was a critic.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So,
I mean, it's not that bad. I'm not a huge that fan, bad, though. I'm just not a huge Jim Carrey fan.
Oh, see, I love him. He was, I mean, Dumb and Dumber.
Fair. And again, Ventura, another movie, I'm
like those two movies were like my top funny. Five just because I loved them so much. And
yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, even like Liar Liar, there's a couple others that I'm just totally blanking on.
Liar Liar, I like that one too. All right, fair, fine.
Liar Liar is another one I actually quote a lot.
I don't know when he does in Living Color, when he does the fireman dude,
Fire Marshal Bell hair.
Yeah, that's maybe my favorite thing he does. It's really funny.
That is a great skit. That probably wouldn't like fun, these days would definitely.
Let me tell you something.
That would never get that. That would never get
no green. No. Most that show alone is like, that'd have to be like cancel culture for sure. That whole fucking show.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
All right. What do you got for me?
All right. Well, I mean, mine aren't great. You know, I'm just going to tell you two that I was going to pick. And I just want to tell you the percentages real quick.
Okay.
So one was The Other Guys. Cause I pissed myself.
Love
laughing.
That movie.
I didn't know if the reviews would be that bad. So they got it's got a 78% from Rotten Tomatoes.
A lot of people like that movie.
But you know what's funny? The audience review was 60%, so it was way less.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that one. But I just want to say, so Other Guys, oh my God, I literally pee myself at the outtakes, like the car with all the things that they say about the car, like Dirty Mike and the boys. Like
that was my fantasy name.
So funny, it was right. Yeah. Mine, I think, was Stack and Jack, because that's what Dirty Mike. Yeah. And the
boys, because we were watching it together.
Yes.
And that's when we changed our fantasy names.
Yes.
That movie
it was.
is
so
up
good.
There.
So good. And here's my
it took
one
me a couple
was...
times though. I had to watch it a couple times before I started to really
could watch it 100 times. It wouldn't matter. The other one, 96%, the actual Rotten Tomatoes, 88% audience, Groundhog Day.
I am not surprised by that.
Okay, me neither, now that I think about it, but I was like, I'm gonna pick Groundhog Day. So I'm like looking at it, I'm like, holy shit, 90. I didn't even read the reviews. I was like, 96%. Like, I mean, it's a classic.
That's actually you can file that under a legit classic.
Fair. I agree. Yeah. So that's why I didn't pick that one either. But I mean, that I was like 96%. I was like, holy shit. So I had to look at it. I was like, okay, well, forget it. I can't pick this one. All right. This has a couple quotes in it. You probably don't like it, but don't tell mom the babysitter's dead with Christina Applegate.
I do like it, but that's one I haven't watched. Like it's not one of the movies like Cable Guy or Along Came Polly where I've watched it 50 times. That one that one's only gotten maybe like a handful of watches out of me.
So I don't know why I love it so much, just because I think it's hysterical. Like, I mean, it's not funny, right? Another weird dark, like the babysitter dies and they just fend for themselves all summer. The fucking stoner brother. I do this quote more than probably most. Dishes are done. Dishes are done, man. I'll do that everywhere I go. And no one ever gets it. Like,
are you serious?
No.
Because I do that one a ton too. But I feel like people get it. Like,
I don't think a lot of people do.
I think people do.
When I put the dishes away or I clean the dishes, I say, dishes are done, man. Like, I'm smoking right now. Like, it's just the funniest shit. Or I always say, like, right on top of that rose, like, all the time when somebody pisses me off because Christina Applegate has to, like, undercover work this, like, whatever, fashion place. Right on top of that rose, and I always do it all the time.
See, that one I wouldn't know. But the dishes are done, I feel like, is a universal quote that a lot of people know.
Fair enough.
You're probably saying it to your students, and they've never seen the fucking movie.
I probably say a lot of those things as my students that should not be. All right, I got a couple reviews here, okay? Don't tell the studio, but it's movies dead. And as we used to say as kids, rest in pieces. Hold on. Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead is the kind of movie that makes you wish you could sneak into the projection booth with a pair of pinking shears. To say that it's dead isn't really fair. Nothing that's dead could be this obnoxious.
Oh, Jesus.
And the last one is, the babysitter isn't the only thing dead in this movie. The plot also suffered a massive coronary while being scripted. Oh, I was freaking dying.
That movie actually, the critics probably love it because the title sets them up for some pretty good lines.
I don't think I did. I even say the percentages. I don't think I did.
No, what were they?
No, 36% Rotten Tomatoes, 57% for audience. So see that, that's a cult
I
thing. People like
I would have
like
guessed that it was
for sure.
See, I'm surprised. That's actually maybe not surprised, but it's higher than a lot of the movies we've been
it's
talking about.
It's just one of those movies. It's stupid as shit, but it's got so many little parts in it that I'm dying laughing, dying. There's like the manager at the McDonald's type place that they work is such a weirdo, and it's just so funny. You got to put a happy face on. And I always laugh so hard. He's fucking creepazoid. I'm always like, okay, creepy.
Well, I like you went a little more old school.
Oh, I did.
All right. So the next one I have.
And your last one.
My last one. I love it. I literally have watched it maybe 100 times. I may have watched this more than Along Came Polly. It's a classic in my mind. Shallow Hal.
Oh, that's a
with
good one.
Jack Black.
That is a good choice.
Oh my God. Like there's just so, I don't even know where to start. I mean, one of the best scenes in all of film is when he's out on the dance floor and Jason Alexander's there with him. And he's like, come on, man, join me. And he sees the three hot chicks and then it pans over to Jason Alexander and he sees the three ugly chicks.
Awful.
And he's like, I just love it so much. And he's like, which one do you want? The redhead, the brunette, or the, and he's like, what do I get? The zebra, the hippo, or the hyena? Oh my God. But then there's so many other dumb lines that I just love it. Or like when she's holding up her panties and he goes up to like hit on her and he's like, what are you building a parachute? And then he's like, oh wait, I get it. You ripped the spinnaker on your sailboat. I just
I forgot about that's a great choice, by the way.
It's like so good.
That's a great choice.
So good.
I hate that you chose that. That's so better than my last one.
And then, so the reviews on this one were pretty bad, even for the audience. Course. It was 49% tomato meter, 45% for audience.
All right.
Which surprised me.
I'm waiting for you to drop like a hammer down to like nothing on those.
There's so many good lines, and I'm just surprised that so many people hated it. I don't know. Probably the audience score is probably fat people who didn't like it.
Right. Like it's pretty awful towards people that are like not attractive or fat. I mean, I guess the premise
is
like
at the end, it's got a good sign. It's got a good, you know, it twists it and brings it all together and has a good message. But
there's so many one-liners in that movie though. So many
one-liners. I mean, we could sit here for another half hour just ripping out.
Right. Like I have so many. I forgot about that movie. I have. Yeah. I'm writing it down. I have to go watch it because I haven't seen it in so long, but it's so funny.
But one person, and this was probably a fatty, they're like, the film itself is a little more than just a series of fat jokes, which it's not
fair.
Completely false, but
fair.
You know, again, if you can have a good sense of humor there, a lot of it's funny. And then another one is the concept of beauty being only skin deep is referred to several times, yet is buried under the unrelentingly unpleasant parade of rhino gags, which, yes, they do reference people as rhinos a couple times. And one of the other lines, which in scenes is just amazing, is when the whole table just falls to the ground and the guy comes over, is working there, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, what happened? He picks up the chair, he's like, what is this shit made of? And he's like, steel. okay.
But you're right, like that movie would never fly today.
Oh,
like
no,
that's
for
not
sure.
Even a chance.
I'm surprised they still play it on like TBS. Well, and
they
stuff.
Also use like Smoking Hot Gwyneth Paltrow, like they could, I mean,
yeah,
I get the point of what they're doing, but like, it's like, you could have like, I don't know. You could probably use someone else there. Like whatever. I don't know. That's a good choice. You really knocked it out of the park with that one.
I do have two quick honorable mentions for me.
Good. Hit me.
One of them that was pretty close to making it, Saving Silverman. Mm-hmm. That's another classic I love. And then this one, I'm definitely going to be totally on my own with this, but I love MacGruber.
What the fuck MacGruber? Is MacGruber? Never seen it.
It's an SNL skit that they turned into a movie where
this is a good segue,
MacGruber,
by the way.
And he goes into
wait, Okay, keep going. Just keep going.
And he goes in to save the day, and he always just ends up sitting there like fucking around or can't figure it out. And at the very end, it just everything blows up. Watch MacGruber. It's so dumb.
Is it like MacGyver?
Good. Yeah, it's like they're making fun of MacGyver, and he's MacGruber. So MacGyver comes in, saves the day. MacGruber comes in, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And then towards it, like, he just sits there and starts talking about random shit. And then they're like, MacGruber, come on. We only have 10 more seconds left. And he's like, no, don't worry. I got this. And then it just blows up and they're all dead.
Well, what's really funny, and this is maybe why we're best friends, this is a perfect segue into my last movie that, by the way, everybody, he had no idea that I was going to choose one. Mine is also an SNL skit. And it's a former one. See if I can get it. Oh, man.
I knew it as soon as you said SNL skit. Because we love this movie.
Can I just say that Sean had no idea that I was coming out with that one, and he did an SNL skit. This is why we're best friends, everybody, because we're such fucking imbeciles. I immediately, when Sean said, let's just do two per person, and I said, all right, I picked this one because I, A, knew that it had awful reviews, and B, it was like Will Ferrell's first ever like real foray into like comedy.
Yeah.
Like, he was young as shit. Him and Chris Kattan's kind of a douchebag, but the skit of Night at the Roxbury, the Butabi brothers, they turn that into a movie, obviously, A Night at the Roxbury. And Sean, I want you to guess what Rotten Tomatoes score was. I didn't even have to look. I knew.
I mean, you already told me it was terrible. So I don't know. I got to guess in the 30s, 37.
You would be so far off. 11%.
Whoa, that's
11. Bad. Now, the audience score was 69%, which is really funny because that's like such a huge gap.
Yeah.
But
which
I,
you could see.
I've seen the skit and then they turn it into a movie. I don't, it's just really funny. Like, freaking, I die laughing at that movie all the time. Like, when they're hooking up with the girls and they've never hooked up with a girl in their life, so pretending like to be Richard Grieco's best friends and whatever, and they're rich as shit and they're not really. Like, when he says, is that a mirror in your pocket? I've used this one liner many times in my life. And she's like, what? And he's like, because I could see myself in your pants. Not to fucking piss myself. Or when he's like, fucking Will Ferrell's like, pew, pew. And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, that sound of the ambulance coming to take you away. Because it's a sign of you stop my heart. I mean, obviously it's stupid as shit.
Yeah.
So dumb. But they do so many things in that movie that I can't, like, I crack up. Like, Melissa and I still, that's why I love her. She thinks the movie's dumb as shit too. But I always like, cause what's his name's trying to get Molly Shannon to be his daughter-in-law because her dad owns like a plant store or whatever. It's a lamp plant store. So we just say that line all the time for no apparent reason whatsoever. But it's so fucking funny, dude.
I haven't watched that movie in a long time. Like, that's also one I need a refresher on.
I am almost
Watch MacGruber and I'm gonna watch.
All right, fair enough. I'm almost certain that I had the Night at the Roxbury like disc, like the CD that went to the movie. Pretty sure I had it.
See, now it didn't surprise me. As soon as you said SNL, I knew it was A Night at the Roxbury because I remember you were obsessed with that movie.
Oh, I could bob my head. I would pretend to smash my head against the window all the time, just like Steve Butabi all the time. No. Yes, all the time, all day. I could do that forever, dude. Forever. I gotta read you some of the reviews before we're done with the movies. 11%, not good, but destined to be one of the year's worst films. It's certainly the most pointless one. And this one I made sure I have from Mr. Roger Ebert, who is Siskel and Ebert. We haven't brought up those guys yet. A Night at the Roxbury probably never had a shot at being funny anyway, but I don't think it planned to be pathetic. It's the first comedy I've attended where you feel that to laugh would be cruel to the characters.
Oh, Jesus.
And this is my last one, favorite one. Those who managed to sit through all 81 minutes of it deserve a medal of bravery.
Oh God.
I was like, I had to put it down. I picked that movie and I was like, 11. I mean, I knew it was going to be bad, but 11% Rotten Tomatoes. Yikes. Like yikes.
Yeah. That, I wasn't expecting it to be that low. Like, well, I know, I mean, the critics definitely hate that, hate that movie, but that's just like, that's a brutal, brutal rating.
Absolutely. So funny though.
Good choice. I like it.
Yes, I know. You too with Shallow Hal. Nice choice on that. Like, I was like, you know, we didn't know those ones, so that was a good one. Like, I knew you're gonna pick Cable Guy, but yeah. Shallow Hal is a good. And I want to go watch all these. I hope everybody goes and watches these movies and critiques them. I hope you do that.
You gotta.
Please do. Please do.
Gotta do it.
Please do. All right. Well, that's our movies. I hope everybody enjoyed this one, you know. Should we get into rock and roll, into the beer of the day or what?
Let's get going on the beer of the day.
You hit it first. Want me to know what you got?
Want me to lead it off?
Yes.
Okay. So I found this local liquor store that's been getting all kinds of crazy shit, and I ended up following their Instagram.
Nice.
So I'm I can see when they're getting all kinds of random stuff, and depending on the brew, some of them I know, and I know they're rare, so I'll go get it, and then others I just look to see, all right, do they have good ratings? This beer is from a company called Equilibrium. They're in Middletown, New York.
Nice.
And I had no idea who they were, but then I started looking up some of their ratings, and like all of their beers were above 4. So I was like, fuck, I got to go give these guys a shot.
Nice.
So I went and got a few different ones.
I've had one of theirs. I've had one of theirs before.
Yeah. So this one that I picked, I really like, and I wanted to do it because I wanted to start a conversation with you around this, but it's called Fluff Frequency.
Love it.
It's an IPA with marshmallow. So like, I've been getting beers, specifically sours with marshmallow in it. I haven't had an IPA yet with a marshmallow in it. And so how they describe it, it's a fluff that has notes of pineapple, passion fruit, and mango dipped in marshmallow frosting.
What?
That's how they describe it.
Fair enough.
Not overly sweet. The kiss of marshmallow adds a touch of melted ice cream element to one of our favorite IPAs.
See, that's
that would be sure to have you vibrating to the right frequency. And I got to
say, vibrating. I like it. Have you vibrating? What kind of vibrator are they talking about? Something sexy? Yeah.
I got to say though, like, you do get this subtle taste of marshmallow and it's fucking delicious. It's a 6.5. I mean, I think I'm going to give it a 4.5 on tap.
Nice. Here. I mean, I'm so glad that I've turned Sean on to all this weird shit once in a while, 'cause I know that he's been pretty straight edge. He gets a lot of good beers, but I was like, when he came out and we did our beer episode, Golden Fridge, he was like, wow, I like some of this shit. It's weird shit, but I like it. Listen, I'll try anything. I mean, honestly, if I'm going to get an IPA, it's got to be a damn good IPA at this point in my life. Like, it's got to be good. But if it's got weird shit in it, for sure, I'm going to try it. I don't care if it's shitty. Like, I'm going to try it just to see how it tastes. But see that, you think about like marshmallow and like the IPA, I'm down. I'm down with that. I've had one so similar to that, but not that way.
And the thing I really like, again, the sours I've had that have kind of a marshmallow flavor and whatnot, a lot of them I've liked. And probably because it takes some of the bitterness away, I feel like, from some of those sours. They're not as tart, I think, when they have marshmallow in it. And I just thought this was unique with the fact that it's an IPA with marshmallow. And this is the kind of shit I want to try more of. You know what I mean? Like, I want a really good IPA, but that's got something unique and weird to it. Like, I could drink all the Citra Mosaic Hop IPAs in the world, which I love them. And
I know you do.
You know, I'll always enjoy them, but having weird shit like this, which is actually really, really good, right up my alley. So I was excited to get this. And I was just curious on what you thought about marshmallow. And I would love to sit down with a brewer. I gotta sit down with a brewer at some point to be like, how the fuck do you go about getting a marshmallow flavor into a beer?
Right. Like that's the question, right? Like, first off, like Fluff, like I'm a Fluffer Nutter fanatic. I think Jim and Joe so like ask like, hey, what's up Fluff? Like, just make fun of me because I was a fat kid for so long. And you see it like Fluff out of the jar. But like how, you know, it's an IPA and you go, I'm going to throw marshmallow in there. Like, what the fuck? How do you think of that? No, it's going to be good. I mean, that's the thing is you don't just try it, right? Like that brewery is super highly ranked. So like, of course you're like, yeah, fuck, it's got to be, I mean, let's try it. It's got to be ranked pretty high. It's got to be pretty good. So it's worth you trying something like that for sure.
Yeah. So that if you can ever come across Equilibrium, their other IPAs are amazing, but again, it's, you know, you can get it mixed across any of the other great breweries where you have a 4 or 5 type. Hazy. Well,
that's what I'm going to ask. Did you look at like, what is the rating on that? Did you already say that? I don't think you did.
It's 4.15.
Okay. That's it
from everyone else. Yeah. Which is still really good, but, I just feel like that marshmallow flavor may not be for everyone. So that's probably why it's not as high as some of their regular IPAs.
And I totally get that because people don't like that. I think I had one. I just checked it in. I think I put it the other day. I had it. It was like the last one I got from when Melissa's parents came out. And it was like it's called Fluffy IPA. And I think you tried it from Untitled Art. And it was like, it was a marshmallow IPA. And it tasted, to me, it tastes like, it was delicious, like caramel, but like the reviews were terrible.
Oh, really?
Just awful. And I was like, how? I still don't get it. Because every time I drank 4 of them and I was like, it's amazing. And I would drink it all the time, but people must not like that flavor. So it is what it is.
Yeah, but it's fucking great. This one's really good.
Good. Well, you're lucky because I went a different route.
I know you've been teasing me with this. I'm excited to hear what's going on.
I'm excited. I haven't tried it yet, and I'm excited to see what happens because I feel like I'm going to be the anomaly. We're going to get
the first reaction live.
Yes, you are. And it feels like I'm going to be an anomaly. So I'm like, oh, this is delicious, but people hate it. Kind of like the one I just said, the Fluffy IPA. But when I do Tavor usually, and I haven't done it in a while, but I've had this one sitting there. I usually look at reviews. I didn't because this one's from Evil Twin Brewing, and Evil Twin is real deal in New York. Awesome beer. I've had a few of them. They make some crazy beer, crazy shit. I look up the reviews after I get it, and it's like terrible. Something's wrong with this. It's shitty, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck, what? Like I just paid probably like $7 for one beer, you know, because I mean, that's just what they are. So this, and I haven't tried it yet. I'm going to show Shawnee. It's called It's Banana Nut Cream Coffee, not banana nut cream and coffee. And it's a stout and it's from Evil Twin. And it's 12.2% alcohol.
See, that sounds 0.2. Terrible to me, but I hate bananas. So well,
I love bananas and I love cream. I love coffee. I'm thinking like as a stout, right?
Yeah.
Gotta be delicious because Evil Twin never like misses. Like they just don't miss. They're from Mount Vernon, New York. And I was like, okay.
So well, this, being similar to our movie reviews. Like some people don't like that type of shit, but you love it. I feel like you're going to like this. Actually, the combination of the fact that it's banana and it's 12%, it's probably like really harsh.
So here's the weird thing. It's not like this is a stout. Okay. And this is where the critics come in. Cause I looked this up ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's super sour, like sour, sour. So for of stout? Course, yes. Okay. So that's the point, right? So if we were on Rotten Tomatoes, and this is why I chose it, we're on Rotten Tomatoes. Let me read you 2 reviews of this beer. By the way, it's only a 3.5 on Untappd, which is not very good.
That is not good.
They should not have released this absolutely terrible sour mess. Something's not right with this one. Drain pour. And I was like, I can't believe I spent $7 on this. And I'll tell you, it's not a $7 beer. I can taste coffee.
Yep.
Taste cream. It's kind of, and I'm not going to rate it very high because they're correct. A lot of people said like how they should name it a sour stout. Like how can this be 12.2%?
Yeah.
But it's not a sour stout. Something's not cool about the beer. I'm going to drink it. Of course, I don't waste beer, especially if I pay money for it.
Of course not.
But it tastes like, it's going to be a bad review. You might as well quote this now so I can put it Untappd. It tastes like if you had, say, I'll give them ground Starbucks from the store. I won't even say Folgers. I'll say Starbucks ground because whatever. And you made the pot of coffee.
Yep.
Then you put it in the fridge and let it cool down to like freezing cold. And then you poured it in this glass. So it tastes like day or 2 day old coffee. That's been like not iced coffee, like coffee you made and put in the fridge. That's what it tastes
with
like.
So banana? It's like sour. Is there any fucking banana? Mm. I mean, it sounds like it was really hyping up the banana flavor.
Yeah. The bananas. I mean, to me, it tastes like I'm drinking like the acidity of a coffee that's been brewed, not iced, right? And straight in the fridge for 2 days. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I forgot I left this coffee I didn't finish and I'm going to drink it.
Yeah, instead of a caffeine high, you're going to be shit faced because it's 12%.
Normally, I bring the hammer down. I'm like, hey, here we go, bringing this 4.5. But I was like, I'm going to bring a shitty beer that's supposed to be good with some Rotten Tomatoes reviews. And I just gave you my review.
I like it.
That shitty coffee, good, 2 days
you,
old. That's
you
been
really like to relate it to what we're doing in the episode. I like
you
that.
See, I thought about this I'm all day today because I knew we were going to do this. And I said, I got a beer for this. Here's the deal.
Well, I wish I had a huge fridge full of 100 different beers I could do
well,
that with.
I'm running out, bud. I don't have many beers that I haven't tried yet left. Like it's real minimal now. Like the rest is like seconds of something. So I'm getting close to being empty, which is good. It's my goal. It's not that bad. Bastard. I'm going to give you this. It's not that bad. I don't think I would rate it better than like a 3.5. So it's right where the beers are. But yeah, it's not great. It's not great, but it's weird. So it shouldn't say. I mean,
You're going to sleep well tonight after that.
I don't get how it's 12% though. The more I drink it, the more I'm like, I mean, if they're going to get me hammered off this, congratulations. Thanks a lot. But 12%? No, don't feel it.
That was a good one. I'm impressed with your choice. Even though it sucks, which that sucks for
that was
you.
A point. That's all right. I'll still drink it. Well, so good. Like, I mean, this is, you know, we tried to do something fun today. We're going to bring back the lists. We're going to start getting a little more serious about the list. I hope everybody likes the movie ones today. All the things we talked about, like go watch some of those movies if you haven't. Definitely try Sean's beer, but don't try Mark's beer. So that's the point there. Please don't do that. Don't buy that beer. It's awful.
Stay far, far away. But yeah, that was fun. I think it definitely is. For my playroom ride for the trip, I might be downloading a couple movies to watch.
Nice. Love it. I love it. Yeah, no, I need to too. Except I have to deal with two children, so it's not nearly as fun as you have. So terrible.
Good luck with that.
Right. So listen, everybody, after our vacation, we're going to probably come up with another one, make another one. So we hope everybody enjoys the episode. It's going to be a good one for everyone to hear. And other than that, as always, Shawnee, fix your fucking face.
Fix your fucking face.
Fix your face. Love you.
Next episode, we'll be doing ASMR.
That is still, but
you're
gonna look it up
out there, big boy.
Ooh, ASMR, yeah.
Naughty.
Bye. Fucking weirdo.
Don't want any weeny, teeny weeny, shriveled little short dick man. Button.